The title of the sermon is, Are You a Lamb of God? Are you a Lamb of God? The word lamb occurs 184 times in the New King James translation of the Bible. The word lambs, plural, occurs 88 times. Obviously, the role of the lamb is important to God in both the Old and the New Testaments. What is the primary spiritual concept associated with a lamb? Lambs signify innocence. But what does innocence mean? The word innocence is often associated with the law. We hear someone pleading innocent, or a jury finding someone innocent of a crime. In fact, that's exactly the spiritual meaning as well. A lamb is picturing someone who is innocent. That is, someone who is free from guilt or sin through being unacquainted with evil. A lamb pictures one who is blameless. It also pictures one who is free from guile or cunning. And finally, it also pictures one who lacks worldly experience. I'm sure most, if not all, who are listening to this message are very aware that Jesus Christ is called a lamb. Let's review some of the scriptures which refer to him as a lamb. John 1, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. In John 1, in verse 36, it says, And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold the Lamb of God. Over in Acts, chapter 8, verse 32, it's quoting from an Old Testament prophecy. It says, The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Over in 1 Peter 1 and verse 19, 1 Peter 1 and verse 19, it says, But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard them saying, Blessed and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. That's over in Revelation 5 and verse 13. In Revelation 7, just a little bit beyond that, verses 9 and 10, it says, After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one can number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Revelation 7:17. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. These are just some of the many verses which refer to Jesus Christ as a lamb. However, not just any lamb, but the Lamb of God. That lamb had a very special mission to accomplish. That lamb was to be sacrificed for the sin of the whole world. In order to be able to do that, Jesus Christ had to live a blameless and sinless life. He had to be totally innocent of any sin or guile. He had to be separate and apart from the ways of this present evil world. Now, the good news, the gospel, is that Jesus Christ did fulfill his mission and has become the first fruit, totally pleasing and accepted by God the Father. Now, let me again repeat the title of this sermon. The title is a question. Are you a Lamb of God? You know, your eternal life actually depends on whether or not you are truly a Lamb of God. Let us examine this in some greater detail. First, the scripture plainly refers to us as lambs. Luke 10 and verse 3. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. John 21 and verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, Yes, Lord. You know that I love you. He said to him, Feed my lambs. Over in Revelation 19 and verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Here we see the saints marrying the Lamb. And as we know, God is very clear that we are to become one with our husband. And our husband is the Lamb. In Genesis chapter 1, we're told that every plant and animal was to be joined to another of the same kind. We, as the future bride of Christ, will be one kind with the Lamb. Christ will not be marrying a goat. Think about that. He will be marrying a wife who is a lamb, innocent, blameless, and without guile. In the Bible, the word guile has the meaning of one who is crafty, who uses tricks to deceive someone, or is skilled in deception. Jesus Christ was totally without guile and deceit. Peter quotes Isaiah 53:9 in 1 Peter 2, verses 21 and 22. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. For us to be a Lamb of God, we must follow Christ's example and be without guile and deceit. We must speak the truth in love, as it says over in Ephesians 4, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. We must also put away all lying as we speak truth to our neighbor. Ephesians 4, verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth to his neighbor, for we are members of one another. You see, deception is not a trait of a lamb. They are open and innocent. Telling half-truths and omitting important facts so someone will come to a wrong conclusion regarding a matter is not the behavior of a Lamb of God. You know, Satan is the deceiver. And we are to be totally free from such behavior in order to be a Lamb of God. Proverbs 8 and verse 7. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. And Proverbs 12 and verse 17. He who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness deceit. Psalm 15, verses 1 and 2. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly, who works righteousness, and notice this, and speaks the truth in his heart. God cannot lie. And we must be like God. Titus 1 and verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Proverbs 14 and verse 25. A true witness delivers souls. But a deceitful witness speaks lies. This is the time of year when we should be examining ourselves to make sure all our communication is with sincerity and truth. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 8. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 8. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now let's turn and read a millennial prophecy. Isaiah 11 and verse 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. Notice that in the millennium, the wolf will dwell with the lamb. It's important to notice that the wolf, which is a predator, will have its nature changed so that its nature will be compatible with that of a docile lamb. When we read this verse, we never think of the lamb's nature being changed. The lamb is already docile, compliant, non-aggressive. The mind of the lamb is already compatible with the peaceful environment in the millennium. In Isaiah 11:6, we just read how predators, such as wolves and leopards and lions, will become as docile as a lamb, and even a little child will be able to lead them. Today we see lambs freely mixed with children in a petting zoo. You don't see wolves, leopards, and lions in a petting zoo today. The wolf and the lamb today are opposites. The wolf represents those in this present evil world. The disciples of Jesus are to be as lambs, not wolves. As a Lamb of God, we have the mind of Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. Matthew 5 and verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. As a Lamb of God, we are to be peaceable, gentle, and humble. Titus 3, verses 1 and 2. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, and showing all humility to all men. Notice the gentle and submissive nature of God's lambs. Over in Isaiah 40, let's read verses 10 and 11. Isaiah 40, verses 10 and 11. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. What a wonderful picture of innocence as our shepherd lifts us up and carries us in his bosom. Being in his bosom is the ultimate place of safety and acceptance. We see that over in John 1 in verse 18, where it says that Jesus is in the bosom of God the Father. John 1, 18. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Recall the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. It's, of course, not a literal story, but a symbolic story used to teach a principle. Lazarus died and went to Abraham's bosom, picturing him as one accepted by God, unlike the rich man who served mammon above serving God. Jesus was actually giving this parable as a rebuke to the Pharisees who were covetous. Over in Luke 16, verse 14, we see that. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things, and they derided him. One of the definitions of bosom I found in dictionary.com says the word represents something intimate and close, like a relationship. Lazarus was carried into a close relationship with Abraham, which represents having faith in God and salvation. The poor beggar is allowed entrance into God's kingdom, while the covetous man was not. In fact, the Pharisees, many of whom were rich and influential, were coming very close to destroying their consciences by being covetous. They were on the verge of committing the unpardonable sin. They were like the rich man who lacked compassion for the poor while selfishly feasting each day. They, like the rich man, felt no pity or remorse. Jesus warned that the tax collectors and the harlots would enter the kingdom before them. A true Lamb of God has a very tender conscience and shows pity on those less fortunate. The lesson is clear. If we want to be a Lamb of God and be accepted as Lazarus was, we must not be covetous or despise others who are not well off. We must be moved with compassion. Over in James 2, let's read verses 1 through 5. James 2, verses 1 through 5. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes, oh yes, and say to him, ah, you sit here in a good place. And say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, God has not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs. Has not God chosen the poor of this world and rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? So, as a Lamb of God, we are to show respect even to the poorest among us. We must never show partiality based on wealth, appearance, race, or gender. It clearly states in Galatians 3:28 that in Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, slave or free. Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. We are all one in Jesus Christ. We are one body and one bread, for we all partake of that one bread. Over in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 17. For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. Another very important characteristic of a Lamb of God is prudence. Prudence. But what exactly is prudence? Someone who is being prudent is careful or wise in handling practical matters and is exercising good judgment or common sense. Jesus Christ was prudent in all matters, and we should be also. Proverbs 14 and verse 15. Proverbs 14, 15. The simple believes every word. Sounds like this morning's sermonette. But the prudent considers well his steps. Proverbs 18, 15. The heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. A prudent man will know what to do under various circumstances. Sometimes it is better to say nothing at all than to say anything. Proverbs 10:19. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. We see Jesus exercising prudence at times by remaining silent rather than speaking. Mark 14, verses 60 and 61. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you? But he kept silent and answered nothing. This fulfilled a prophecy in Isaiah 53 and verse 7. Isaiah 53, 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. You know, the high priest probably realized that the accusers of Jesus really had no case against him. As Jesus wisely remained silent, in an outburst of frustration and desperation, the high priest placed Jesus under an oath to force a reply. Matthew 26, 63. But Jesus kept silent, and the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus, exercising prudence, knew exactly when to remain silent and when it was time to speak. Ecclesiastes 5, verses 1 through 3. Ecclesiastes 5, verses 1 through 3. Walk prudently when you go to the house of God, and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. As lambs of God, we too must learn to be prudent. We must learn not to react or overreact when someone insults us. Proverbs 12, verse 16. A fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame. You know, sometimes just saying no is being prudent. A prudent person knows his or her limitations and does not overcommit. Jesus, as the Passover Lamb of God, was without blemish. And we as lambs of God are to be without spiritual blemishes. We are to put away the leaven of sin and be holy, even as he is holy. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 17. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Now, we've all heard the saying, just say no to drugs. Sometimes we must say no to various behaviors in order to avoid defiling our body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 1, verse 15. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Pretty broad. Being a lamb of God is a holy calling. That is, we are to be holy just as Jesus, the perfect, unblemished Passover Lamb of God was holy in all his conduct. Another aspect of being a Lamb of God is keeping God's commandments. All his commandments are holy. And in order for us to be a holy spiritual nation, we must also keep all of the commandments. Romans 7 and verse 12. Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. The Bible clearly states that the Sabbath and the feast days are holy time, and we are to keep them that way. We're not to figuratively put our shoe on that holy ground. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Yes, as lambs of God, we form a holy spiritual nation. We are the flock of God, and he is our loving shepherd who cares for us and nourishes us spiritually. 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 9. The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God, the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Now notice that elders are in the role of a steward, not the role of an owner. The elders are to shepherd the flock just as the chief shepherd would himself. Just as Jesus is pictured as both a lamb and a shepherd, so are elders. In the role of shepherd, they are stewards. In the role of a lamb, they are to be examples, just as Jesus is our perfect example. Yes, elders are to be an example of innocence, humility, and gentleness to God's flock of lambs. The flock of innocent, vulnerable lambs of God are to be guarded and protected by the elders as good and faithful stewards. Acts 20, verse 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. You know, that is a very serious calling. Notice that the flock was purchased by the very blood of Jesus Christ. Continuing in verse 29 and 30 of Acts 20. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will arise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch. And remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Unlike the picture we saw earlier of the kingdom of God, where wolves and lambs will dwell peacefully together, in this present evil world, spiritual wolves are predators seeking to draw disciples after themselves. Lambs of God are to be harmless, but also prudent and wise. They are to watch and to be very alert to such danger. Matthew 10, verse 16. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You know, out here in East Texas, I sometimes come across a copperhead snake. As long as I'm standing near it and watching it, it usually stays very still, hoping I don't see it. They blend in very well with old leaves. If I go off to get a shovel to kill it, most times the snake has moved on, can't be found. The snake is wise and avoids trouble when it can. As lambs of God, we too should be wise as serpents and avoid trouble when we can, distancing ourselves from those who would seek to take advantage of our innocence or cause controversy and division. Now, here is an important point. Innocence is not the same as being foolish. One can be innocent and also very wise, just as Jesus Christ was. Think about that. It is the responsibility of each Lamb of God to not be foolish, but wise. Recall the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise, and when the call went out, they entered into the wedding. The 5 that were foolish were not ready, were not allowed to enter. Let's read that. Matthew 25, verses 1 through 12. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Not 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourself." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you." You know, we have all been foolish in the past. Oh, have I ever been foolish in the past? However, as lambs of God, we are not to remain foolish. Proverbs 9:6 instructs us to forsake foolishness and gain wisdom and understanding. Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. A lamb of God will depart from the presence of one who is foolish and divisive. Think about that. A lamb of God will depart from the presence of one who is foolish and divisive. Proverbs 14 and verse 7. Go from the presence of a foolish man. When you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge, departing is usually far better than trying to answer a foolish person. Proverbs 27, 22. This is one of my favorite verses. It's a little bit of humor there. Proverbs 27, 22. Though you grind a fool in a mortar with a pestle, along with crushed grain, yet his foolishness will not depart from him. Foolish Judas, who betrayed Jesus the night of the Passover, came to finally see that he had betrayed an innocent man, the innocent Lamb of God. Matthew 27, verses 3 through 5. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? You see to it. Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed, went and hanged himself. Foolish, foolish Judas. Judas had been a disciple of Jesus Christ for years and should have become very wise as one of Christ's disciples. However, Judas allowed covetousness to dominate his mind and was a thief instead. He chose a wrong path, and it led to his destruction. So this should be a warning to us all. Not everyone who follows Jesus Christ as a disciple grows out of foolishness and becomes both wise and innocent as a true Lamb of God. Sadly, those who remain foolish and warped in their thinking are easy targets of Satan the devil. Luke 22:3. Then Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. Paul is clear as to our calling over in Ephesians 5. Let's look at Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 16. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Brethren, as lambs of God, we must not walk as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, for these days are certainly evil. Let us put out any leaven of wickedness that might reside in us and become pure, innocent, humble lambs of God. Let us be wise and prudent in all our relationships. In this new sacred year, let no leaven be found in us. Rather, may we be the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth as innocent lambs of God.